702 on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on the Prime Media Plus app
and on DStv channel 856.
And it's 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning to you. I hope you are well on this Tuesday morning and everything is going your way. How are you doing? Is everything going well? My name is Thabo Shola Mashau and I am standing in for Clement. We're together all the way till 12 midday. We've got quite a lot to discuss, quite a lot to get through. We will disagree and that's what makes it so interesting. So I urge you to give us a call right away on 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. We've got quite a jam-packed show. Obviously, we kick off with the open line between 9 and 10 o'clock. And I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to raise to you. And I need your view on a couple of things, including whether we've become complacent as South Africans on the leadership that we have, on the state of affairs. No water, no electricity, no jobs, crime-ridden country. Has this become our sense of complacency where we say, well, this is who we are, what can we do? There's that sense in the air. And I'm wondering what happened to activism that would have been there. And I'm wondering if we are not on a slippery slope. Give us a shout. Let us know what you think on 011-883-0702, alternatively on 072-702-1702. That's where you can also send your text messages and your voice notes as well. I look forward to them right away. 8 after 9.
702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
We do know that the ANC has taken the IEC to court regarding the MK issue and they're looking for a declaratory order. And this is regards to the registration of the MK party, where the ANC feels strongly that the name actually belongs to them. But in this instance, they are asking the court to declare the action of the IEC to register MK party invalid. I would say it's sour grapes. I'd say just let it go. I'd say we are here now, focus on elections. I mean, we were reading over the weekend that you don't have money as the ANC to campaign and mobilize people to towards your favor. But you still going to court over this? I would think otherwise. I would rather you focus your attention to somewhere else. But I'm not your member and I'm not a leader. And perhaps you know what you're doing and that's fine. But I would think at this point, there's quite a lot to deal with, other than just going back and forth with MK. But speaking about MK, very, very worrying that some leaders in the MK are insistent and repeating the message that there'll be violence if the MK party is not on the ballot come May 29th, 2024. Those comments are extremely dangerous. And Bongani referred to it a little bit earlier on. And I'd like to jump on that bandwagon. We can't let it slide. Anyone who threatens violence against anyone, especially an election, that's a direct threat to the state. An election is a strong element of our democracy. And if anyone dares to threaten a peaceful election, what they are suggesting is that they're holding all of us hostage. We can't afford that. And I really don't hear relevant noises, especially from the police. I don't hear shouts from authorities to say that we are not going to tolerate this. As a matter of fact, we have opened up a case almost immediately against whoever has made those remarks. I'm not hearing that. And the parties that are often very quick to go to the police station, to march to the nearest police station and open cases, where are they now? Where are they? There's a direct threat of violence. It cannot be. We can't allow that. But on the open line today, I thought we should speak about our sense of complacency. So what I'm really asking us to do is the most difficult thing and the unfashionable thing. It's not sexy at all and it's not as appealing, and a whole lot of people won't want to do it. And we risk just speaking to ourselves and not getting calls, because that's just who we are, South Africans, on these things. We are complacent. I'm arguing, that's in my view, I'm arguing that we've become complacent. We have accepted the status quo. People are dying. We saw not too long ago in Gauteng the murder rate going high. We know the amount of joblessness that we are seeing. There is no water, literally, from our taps, at least in some parts of the city. And we have learned to navigate around that and live around that. No electricity, load shedding. Load shedding is part of our lives so much that we have accepted the public relations euphemism of load shedding. I even call it load shedding, even though it's power cuts. We have chewed it up and we have swallowed it. So we have become armchair critics who don't stand up, who don't raise our voices. And we are throwing our hands in the air and saying, oh, well, it's a South Africa that we live in. What can we do? The sad part about that is that it's going to get far worse if that's our attitude. What happened to the activism that South Africa used to have? What happened to the vocal protest-driven South Africa? The South Africa that said no, even under the worst possible conditions of apartheid, where people defied apartheid laws and said, we are not going to allow you to reduce us to that. We don't see any of that. So I'd like to ask, the activism that South Africans used to have, has it been diluted by mere participation on social media platforms, where we all make jokes, where we exchange stuff, where everyone seems to know more than the other, and that's where it ends? What happened to the activism of South Africa? I'm not talking about parties. I'm not campaigning for any party. I'm not talking about political entities. I'm talking about putting South Africa at the fore of everything else. We don't see that. Ordinary South Africans, communities standing up and say, no, we can't have this. Joblessness, unemployment is ravaging our towns, and it's a ticking time bomb. We're not going to accept it. We have allowed leaders to run amok. And I just want to ask you, is it because we are fatigued as South Africans? Is it because we are tired? Is it the post-liberation fatigue kicking in, and now we feel that we've done so much, we need to take a little bit of rest, and we'll take any insult, including the authorities spitting in our faces? No water, no electricity, and we're still okay with it. Actually, we are making means around that. We are learning to live with the timetables, and everyone has got a timetable, a schedule to know when this will be off, and you're making means around that. We are not saying to the leaders, no. These are just mere basics that you should be putting on the table. We can disagree about others, but this one, we must all agree. Basics, basics, basics. I mean, Bongani was talking to the mayor of Johannesburg yesterday on the show, on his show, The Breakfast Show, here on 702. The mayor was found wanting on many accounts. On many accounts. I didn't pick up a sense of our irritation to say, bruh, you are the mayor of one of the biggest cities in the world, certainly the biggest in Africa economically, or second, but you should be doing far better. We cannot be having someone like you. You are clueless. You are absent. We don't have that sense. We don't. Including, by the way, not just to politicians. I think on the 31st, it will be the last day in March where parents are asked to go and vote for school governing bodies in various schools. Parents have not been showing up in huge numbers. They have not. I'm just talking about local schools. Leave politics aside. Local schools where your child attends every single day, where your child spends most of the time. Some parents have just been okay by not going to vote for the school governing bodies. Yet they expect their kids to do so well. Yet they expect their kids to thrive. Yet they'd be the first ones to march to the school if a child complains about something. I think we have come to a point where I don't want to call it fatigue. I would say complacency. Are South Africans complacent? about where we are right now. We've learned to accept anything, even post-elections. I suspect that if any other party were to come in and it performed below mediocrity even, we'd still accept it. We'd still accept it. Perhaps that's a South Africa that you want. I'm not too sure if it's a South Africa that I would like to have. But I could be wrong. 011-883-0702. And this is Cynthia from Roodepoort. Hey, Cynthia. Cynthia, good morning.
Hi, Tabu. Hi, I've been waiting to get onto the show since this morning. You're talking about leadership.
Yes.
The mayor said yesterday on air that 90% of the water is working. What kind of leadership is that? I know you've alluded to it, but I want to give you a couple of more examples of bad leadership. What about Tanyazi Lesufi and his ETOLs that are going to be gone by March? What about that kind of a line? Mm. I want to go back again to 2011. We had a politician saying, let's have an inquiry about lightning.
Mm.
What kind of leadership is that? We have become complacent as South Africans, and I want to urge people, don't become complacent. Let's hold these politicians to account, and the journalists as well. We depend on you guys to highlight these things on a daily basis and show that we cannot accept this. What kind of country are we going to... our children. I'm an old lady.
Mm.
I'm fighting for my children. My children's businesses all went down with the unrest, down into the ground with the unrest. And IEC has said absolutely nothing about Jacob Zuma's utterances about violence.
Mm.
We have felt exactly what it is to lose everything. You're looking at the TV and your income is going up in flames.
Mm.
Where must they go to now? They haven't been able to pick up the pieces.
Cynthia, someone may be listening to us right now. Someone may be listening to us and thinking, but Cynthia, what do you want us to do? We go to work, we are tired, we have children to take care of, we have families. How would you respond to that person? If someone had to say, great, we hear you, Cynthia and Thabo, what can I do as an ordinary South African?
As an ordinary
South African.
Election toll and vote. Let's vote these people out. They are not the ANC that our partners died for. They are not the ANC. Our partners died for this ANC.
But
they died for it.
Cynthia, isn't that part of the problem?
It is part of the problem. Diluted, they have broken down the ANC. They do not belong in government. Ugh.
Okay, Cynthia, I think I lost you there for a second, but I think point well registered. 011-883-0702. George in Joburg. Hey.
Hi, am I on air?
You are live on air, George.
Well, you know what? What your sense of frustration resonates, and I can feel it for the first time. I just listen and I hear this. And Cynthia, by the way, has said something, registered something, and I can also sense her frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And this resonates around South Africa. But let me tell you something. I think we need to be honest with ourselves as South Africans. The psyche of the average South African, I'm not saying individuals, I'm saying collectively, is one of kowtowing. You know, when people have an icon, when you're in a country where people have an icon, you know what an icon does, an idol does?
Tell me.
He makes you suspend your free thinking. In other words, the individual is collectivized and you become submissive. We had a man called Nelson Mandela in this country, and Nelson Mandela was virtually God. Okay? And the suspension of our activism, if any, and in fact, there was not much activism in South Africa. I can be honest with this, okay? There was an elite. We love lying to ourselves. There has never been a revolution in South Africa. Now, let me tell you something.
I'm going to love talking to you. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, George. I'm going to love talking to you. Yeah.
The revolution is due.
Yeah.
And this is when you will see flames, okay? Because people have reached the end of their tether. the country hit rock bottom. If you listen to people like Professor Anthony Tatten, who've been saying for the last 20-odd years that our water infrastructure is going down, and we are now at the point where we had at one stage 800 million rand in abeyance, we are saying, and then now we're talking trillions in terms of this, because we believed some revolutionaries, fake revolutionaries, who were in so-called exile, will come in and know how to run a modern state. A modern, one of the most modern countries in Africa, they thought they could just come up, who had never even run a tuck shop, as somebody said, of Thabo Mbeki. In fact, his brother said that of him. Now, these are guys who come here, fake qualifications. They think they can run simple. Some of us have worked in the modern economy, okay? Many South Africans. But because most South Africans who are capable, and this is critical, most capable South Africans, technically and otherwise, are not members of political parties, because they can't join and sit around with a bunch of clowns and thieves. So they refuse to be contaminated.
So, George, allow me to come in. I've given you a bit of room. Please allow me to come in so that we don't miss some of the critical points that you've made. Firstly, I suspect and I assume that when you say revolution, we don't necessarily advocate for violence, because that's not okay. George, You'll get a chance, George. Believe me, you'll get a chance. Okay. I won't just say goodbye. You'll get a chance to respond to what I'm saying. So I'm saying one thing about that, because I don't want any ambiguity about the word. Someone will call in, you allow George to say revolution, violence, and we are talking about a continuous change for the better and evolution of society to realize economic, social, and political attainment that would be better for the entire society. I suspect that's what you're talking about. So, because I wouldn't agree to violence. Secondly, a very important point that you are raising is that a number of South Africans are not aware that activism was not at its greatest heights even during apartheid as we make it out to be. Because if it were, if we had a lot of people participating in the anti-apartheid protests, marches and sentiments, we would have attained our freedom far earlier than we did. And not only in 1994. The majority of the country, the majority of the oppressed were sitting back and not actively involved. So those are the two things. I'm giving you a chance, then I have to move on to the next person.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. It's your chance.
The ANC is the longest running liberation movement. Now, there's a paradox there. When you have a liberation movement that is 100 years old, the analogy I can make, the metaphor is, there's a thing called a kamikaze pilot.
Yeah.
When you have a kamikaze pilot who flies 100 successful combat missions, he has failed. You have to, a kamikaze pilot goes once and doesn't come back.
Yes, yes.
Now, the ANC has been for 100 years. It means there was something subliminally wrong with their so-called revolution.
George, I have to say goodbye, George. Thanks very much. You're going to get into a lot of trouble. Thanks, George. Sviso in Randburg. Hey, Sviso. I hope you're well.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm free. Good, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks so much for an amazing topic. I think it's not even a South African problem in terms of people's apathy towards politics. I think globally, people have just realized that, or are figuring out that politicians and the entire system of politics is not really geared for us, the normal people on the street. It's really for those who are most powerful, who have the most influence. For example, in the United States right now, people are being told not to believe their lying eyes about what's happening in Palestine. Over, I think, 70-some-odd% of Americans want a ceasefire in America, sorry, in Palestine, and it's not going to happen because the government has its own interests, and its interests don't align with those of the people. So they don't care what you think. They only care about you at election time. They only care about you at the time when it's time to give them power. Thereafter, our opinions don't matter. And I think that's what people are starting to feel, and that's what is driving the apathy. It's not just that people don't want to participate. I think they're feeling like their participation doesn't matter unless it aligns with the interests of the extraordinarily wealthy and powerful. And I think that's the frustration.
Sure, sure. But then doesn't it mean that there is a level of complicity on us as the electorates? And as it's been said before, Sfiso, that we deserve the government we get because we are the ones who've put them in power. And what does it say about our complicity in being partisan as opposed to being patriotic first?
I would say that it says more about how politicians lie to get our votes, because think about how many times we say, but you campaigned on X issue and now you're not doing the thing that you promised. So I think people have realized that it's easy to say it's on us because we are the ones putting them in power, but we only have the information that we have, and we keep on being promised by these politicians over and over again that they're going to see for us, but they never do.
But what's wrong with us not seeing through that? That it's been over and over and over again. How many times must it happen before we wake up? By the way, this is not just an indictment only on the ANC, but the DA as well in other parties. I mean, look at the Western Cape. You'd have, when you visit the Western, people in Khayelitsha, Philippi, Nyanga, Langa, and others, they tell you how horrible the conditions are, but by and large, the DA would still win in the Western Cape. So this is not just an indictment on the ANC. I have to put the record straight.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think that's also another added layer that's a problem to the political discord or to the whole situation, is that we only have bad choices. There are no good choices. Again, going back to the American example, it's supposed to be the democracy globally, and yet there are only two political parties. The UK has three. We really only have two or three. The others don't really matter as much. It's ANC, DA, and EFF. Everybody else is eh. So you don't really have...
No, but George, Sfiso, I disagree with you there. We have 48... Well, in the previous ballot, in the previous election, we had 48 parties. And simply because we do not give anyone else a chance. We want this partner who abuses us, yet we expect them to love us unconditionally and treat us so gently. We do not think that anyone else would love us the same way. We are happy and content to be with someone who abuses us because we exploit this saying that says better the devil you know. And then we then go out and say, there are no great partners out there. Who else would I date? I mean, really, if I leave Thabo, who else would I date? There are many other people looking at you, but you don't want to give them a chance.
Then I think we need to change the entire political, the way the system actually even works, because the way that it's currently set up is only set up for the most, for those who have access to the most resources. That's why we're not giving the others any kind of chance, because we don't, a lot of times we don't even know they exist.
Or socialization. How about that? In schools, we introduce subjects like civil education, civic education, where we instill a sense of patriotism to our kids to look broader beyond parties and to put the interests of South Africa first.
Agreed. Again, I still would say that the entire system, the way that it operates, needs a total overhaul. Because I would say, ask any average South African to name those 48 political parties that you just mentioned. They'll only mention three or four. Because we don't know about all the others. Because the system is not set up to give those other parties a chance.
Sfiso, lovely chatting to you, bro. Really appreciate it. Stay tuned all the way till 12 o'clock. Bazooka, I'm going to come back and take your call and others. I'll read out your text messages in a short.
Let's walk the talk.
702.
25 minutes to 10 o'clock. You're on 702. Thabo in for Clement, together till 12. And please keep those calls coming through. 011-883-0702. It's an open line. Whatever is on your mind goes. You set the agenda. You determine the conversations that we are having all the way till 10 o'clock. I don't want to dictate too much as to what those conversations should be, but I kicked off with lack of activism, complacency, or even fatigue that we have as South Africans. Are we now tired? We don't raise issues anymore. We complain in our corners and we don't want to do anything tangible about those. I've mentioned unemployment rate. I have mentioned load shedding, water, and many others. Crime, the levels of crime are just at a different and scary proportions. So I wanted to know from you, genuinely, as someone who's a South African or living in South Africa, why is it that the levels of activism are reduced? Have we resigned ourselves to the status quo? Are we tired? Are we now saying that, let's give up? Let's give up. It is what it is. I'll just focus on my own life and there's nothing else to do. Is that where we are? How did we get there? Why is it that we are there? Can we not shake off the sloth that is just upon us? Can we not fight a little bit harder? Because, of course, the path ahead will be labyrinth, will be complicated, complex and intricate. But it's worth the fight, isn't it? It's really worth the fight. And I'm not talking about physical fight. I'm talking about activism of social change. Activism for social change. 011-883-0702. I'd love to hear from you. I'll get to your voice notes. But first, let's hear what Bazooka has to say. He's been holding on for quite some time. Bazooka in Pretoria, morning.
Good morning, Tabo and 702 listeners. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your patience.
Yes, I would like to just raise 2 points that have an impact on lack of active citizenship. I also never used to be active, but until I became active, I realized that, there is a lot that is happening that we are not aware of, that we can't influence. For instance, I attended an SGB elections yesterday at a school that has over 500 parents, but only 30 turn out to cast their vote. Only 30.
Yep.
So, one of the most hardworking chairpersons couldn't return to office because of the impact of low turnout.
Yeah,
could have been different. And second, attending these community meetings like integrated development plans also empowered me as well and those who attend because we tend to know the processes of budget and where priorities, where money is being spent. And often you find that they're not spending money where community needs, services. Like, for instance, in our area, we need school. And it's not part of local government, City of Tshwane plans to have land allocated. Province has been allocated over R1 billion on bus transportation. So it's not that there is no money to build schools around here. So our kids travel over more than, for instance, over 2 hours of traveling. You can imagine the impact it has on their outcomes, on their education outcomes. So as parents, if we attend this thing, perhaps we can have a bigger influence and hold them accountable.
I agree completely with what you're saying, especially at the school governing body level. And that is moving away a little bit from politics because sensitive people will then say that we are advocating for this party and not the other party simply because they are party driven and not South Africa driven. School governing body level. Why is it that parents are not taking interest in the well-being of their kids' education? School governing body, not ANC, not IFP, not EFF, not DA, school governing body. So the level of activism participation in such structures is so low, so scary. Then we come back and say our schools are falling apart. And we point a finger at the minister, at the MEC, as often we should, but we don't also point another finger at ourselves to say that I don't participate in policies that I can set as a parent for the school where my child attends. I'd rather go to a car wash, have a great time on a Saturday afternoon and sit with friends. I'd rather be home watching another series of this, that and the other. I'd rather be on Twitter. I'd rather be, and those are the small things. And I'm saying that deliberately, Wena Bazooka, so that people do not think that this is only about politics. In our communities, we can do more. Yeah.
Can I also raise one last
more? Go ahead.
Mostly whites, they do participate. And blacks, I don't know what's our problem. And I'm sorry to bring the issue of race, but it's based on my observations.
Okay, Bazooka, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. All the best to you. And thanks for calling. Stay tuned. Bazooka in Pretoria. Abel, we've been neglecting the text messages and the voice notes. Let me just first read one or two text messages that have come through to 072-702-1702. This one says, hi, Tabo. I visited Nigeria donkey years ago, and all that I heard was noise from generators, and every house had a borehole, no traffic lights, the roads are bad. I was shocked. Never thought it would happen here. Is South Africa that cursed that we can't learn from other countries in Africa, and we can't allow ourselves to get to that level of destruction? And this comes from Kumalo. 072-702-1702.
Hi, good morning. It's Johnny from Jameson. Look, the problem is very simple. As long the majority, the elder voter and the rural voter believe that Grant belongs to the ANC, the ANC will win election after election, because they are scared of losing the grants. So all it needs is another party to go and convince the people. Otherwise, forget it. Thank you, John Jameson.
John, thanks for that. Another text message, Tabo. The current water problems are as a result of incompetence, as the Eskom debacle has been going on for over 16 years, and the Minister of Electricity expects us to believe that they're improving supply. What an absolute diabolical set of lies. The ANC could not run a cold bath, and they have and continue to lie to the voters who have gotten a corrupt government they voted for. Sadly, South Africa has become TNZ, proudly brought to us by ANC. And this comes from Brew. 072-702-1702. It's now 17 minutes to 10 o'clock.
Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
702 indeed. 011-883-0702. Neo in Soweto. Morning, Neo. Morning, Noah.
Morning, Tibos. How are you, sir?
I'm free, good sir. Thanks for your patience.
I'm good, my brother. I just wanted to comment, and then I want to agree with the previous caller. I don't know what's wrong with us, but especially from, I must say, from our black brothers and sisters. I'm one of those that have been so much active in my community growing up, like at the age of 18, 19, already I was involved in implementing what we call the patrollers. I don't know what they call them now, like they patrol at night because of the crime that was happening in our community. And we managed to keep that crime. I mean, we took it from a youth. We used to have break-ins every night, but we took that to a zero tolerance, whereby if we saw something happening at night, we will make sure that we came together as brothers and as boys in our street, and we said, you know what, we will look after our area. But the unfortunate thing is that, unfortunately, you get so discouraged when time goes on, because you tend to get a sort of a no support from the people in your community, whereby it looks like you are just alone. For an example, also, even when opportunities of jobs comes, it doesn't matter from anywhere, maybe in any of the community members' workplace or wherever, they don't even think about you. You'll hear of others succeeding, and then you look at yourself, you say, but is this worth it? I'm just sitting here. My life is not going anywhere, but I'm doing this because I love my community. But my life personally, your parents are looking at you. They say, but you are young. You are not going to look for a job. But you say, well, I'm still waiting for a job. I want to be doing something at least. I also started the home-based care where we were training also as young people. I will go out from my community, source companies to train some young people that were not working in my community to say, you know what, and even look after those who were challenged with these sicknesses. But at the end of the day, they will get opportunities. They will go and get trained. I remember at some point, there are others that went, even got, like, NetBank sponsored them. They even gave them jobs. You will assume to say these people will come back to your community and also assist you because you don't have something. And then I was the leader of that organization.
Have you stopped all of that now? Have you stopped all of that?
To be honest with you, I got discouraged along the way, but something that kept me going, because I'm at a better space right now, I must say.
Yeah.
But what kept me going also is my relationship with God, because I think that heart is within me. Because right now, I've started an organization called Kinajita. Now I'm helping boys, you know, from the streets, you know, with the father, because I also had a challenge of an absent father.
Yeah. So no, that's a serious problem. Yeah. And now we go ahead.
No, I still want to do more, but I feel like, for an example, I'm talking about boy child. The minute I say we sponsor schools with shoes, like from Kinajita, I will say, okay, my brothers, let's put something together to go and buy shoes. Guess who responds? It will be ladies.
Yeah.
You know, the fathers are not even...
They're not helping.
They are not helping anyway. And that gets too frustrating.
Sure. But listen, Neo, I think, you know, we need more people like you, no doubt. And I'm glad that you didn't give up completely. And at times it becomes very easy to let go, especially in communities when you're doing something and there's lack of appreciation or you feel that you're not valued. And also you need resources to keep going. So I'm glad that you have not lost that spirit. Please keep doing that. Aubrey Masango has got a show, obviously Monday to Friday. And on Friday specifically, they talk about South Africans doing great things. And that's where people like you are being given attention, and the spotlight has been cast on you and the work that you do in your communities. People who are not in the newspapers but are doing fantastic stuff for their communities. So I'll just pass on your details to the producers that side. Maybe they could speak to you, because we do need people like you. And here at 702, we do give people like you a platform because we walk the talk. But now, please don't give up. Keep on I don't have much to give you as far as resources, but I'm hoping that out there someone will at least try to assist you, because you're doing fantastic, unfashionable job that probably won't get an award, but it's South Africans like you who get us where we need to go. All the best to you, Neo in Soweto. 7 minutes to 10 o'clock. Voice notes 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Thabo, and good morning to your 702 listeners. I think you are right when we say maybe we are fatigued. That's why we have such a negative outlook when it comes to our country. I mean, let's just look what is happening. What is there actually to keep our spirits up as residents of South Africa? You've got petrol prices that are ridiculous. They're sky high. You have politicians that are forever fighting amongst themselves. When you go to any township, you go to any location, and you look at the state of our roads, the state of our parks, everything is just dilapidated and depressing. You know, there's really little for us to look at and say, yes, we are motivated, we are enthusiastic about the country. I think the leadership of this country must just look at itself and try to improve the little things, the education system, the health system, so that we as citizens, we also pick up from them and say, yes, they are doing it, we can also do it. It's Eugene from Soshanguve.
Good morning, Thabo. It's Chuso here. The ANC is just straight out cowards. They are simple that. Why would you take the MK to court? There is only one reason for that. They are scared of losing KZN, of which it's already off their grasp. KZN is as good as gone. They can just forget. Instead of fighting all these petty issues of names, they should be canvassing, trying to convince people otherwise. Otherwise, the elections, I don't see them coming with anything more than 40. 40 will be the maximum. Thank you, Thabo.
Good morning, Thabo. It's Lufuna from Pacific Central. Our problem is gatekeepers. Some of us activists, the minute we try and go get in, the gatekeepers make sure that your voice is watered down so much, because they are financed by very powerful people. These gatekeepers are financed by very, very powerful individuals. Make sure that any decent voice doesn't get heard anyway.
Yeah, gatekeeping is a serious problem, but also a voice note before this one was about the numbers. South African elections, I have found them to be extremely complicated. And I know there are a couple of surveys and research studies out there that show that the ANC will be at about 39%. The Brandtest one was suggesting something to the effect. I think things are a little bit more complicated than that. And KZN is definitely the province to look out for, because contestation is going to be at its highest in the province. You have the ANC, which is the incumbent, of course, and then there's IFP, extremely strong in KZN. That's their backyard, and they would want to do something magical. The EFF has been pushing off late, vehemently so, to try to make inroads. You'd remember that huge rally that they had at Moses Mabhida Stadium, where they launched their manifesto, and they wanted only people from KZN to come through. Of course, there were people from elsewhere, but majority were from KZN. So also the DA, that's John Steenhuisen's backyard. He would want to make a mark that side as well. So, and then the MK now, enter MK into the fray. They also want to shake it up. So KZN is definitely the province to look out for, including Gauteng. Your calls, 011-883-0702.
Morning, Thabo. Thabo, I'm one of those who are no longer interested in voting and taking part in politics. I'm not interested. I've voted before. I've used my voice to speak for me, but it never spoke for me. So I'm sick and tired of this thing now. I don't trust any politician. They are all the same. And people are saying they are blaming me that I must use my voice. My voice, I must use my vote. Vote for who? I can't vote now. I can't vote. I just hate politics. I hate all of them. Can't vote. And it's my right also not to vote, yeah? It's possible.
Good morning, Thabo and 702 team. It's Heidi here. Hope you guys are well. Thabo, yes, I agree. The Africans have become very complacent. They just accept the things that are currently going on. I live in Europe, in the Netherlands, and I promise you that kind of nonsense will not fly here. Last year, you should have seen the mayhem my neighborhood caused when a street light was broken for a week. That caused so much racket that the neighborhood got an apology from the mayor. Maybe the South Africans should take a lesson from that. Lovely show.
A couple of things to respond to, but there's no time at all. But isn't that called a broken glass phenomenon, where we look at the small things and make them work? Was it one of the mayors? Was it Rudy Giuliani? I'm not too sure. Who came up with that in New York as the mayor and started saying, even the smallest of things has to be attended to in order for us to deal with huge things. And the gentleman who said he's not going to vote, please, I'm begging you, do it for us. You have to go there. I can't tell you who to vote for. Please don't give up. Do go. May 29th. It's your right and I respect your right. But if there's one begging I'm going to do, is to you and to everyone else who says they are not going to vote. I'm willing to go on my knees for the sake of the country. Go and vote. I don't care for who, but just go and vote. Read all the manifestos, go through the party policies, and I'm sure you'd like one or two. They're also independents.